ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Samam Bonam, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis Meet, verse number 48. Same verse. तासाम तत्सौभग्मदम् विक्ष्यमानं च केशव प्रशमाय प्रसादाय तत्रैवान्तरधीयत। तासाम तत्सौभग्मदम् विक्ष्यमानं च केशव प्रशमाय प्रसादाय तत्रैवान्तरधीयत। तासाम तत्सौभग्मदम् विक्ष्यमानं च केशव प्रशमाय प्रसादाय तत्रैवान्तरधीयत। तासाम तत्सौभग्मदम् विक्ष्यमानं च केशव मायाप्रसादाय तत्रैवान्तरधीयत। तासाम तत्सौभग्मदम् विक्ष्यमानं च केशव प्रशमाय प्रसादाय तत्रैवान्तरधीयत। मत्सौभाग्यमदम् विक्ष्यमा to their good fortune, madam, intoxicated state, vikshaya, observing, manam, the false pride, cha, and keshava, Lord Krishna, prashamaya, in order to diminish it. Prasadaya, to show them favor. Tatra eva, right there. Antardhiyata, he disappeared. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Keshav, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus, he immediately disappeared. Purport. The word prasadaya here is significant. Lord Krishna was not going to neglect the gopis. Rather, he would increase the power of their loving affairs by making another spectacular arrangement. After all, the gopis were basically proud of Krishna. He also made this arrangement, as we shall see, to show special favor to the beautiful young daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna and the Gopis Meet for the Rasa Dance. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Verse Number 48, Translation. Lord Keshav, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus he immediately disappeared. Hare Krishna. So today being Purnima and last day of Kartik month, also the day Krishna had Ras Leela, Sri Krishna Ras Yatra, so I took the liberty of not taking the verse in sequence. So we'll discuss this verse, wherein Krishna has decided to disappear in front of the eyes of the gopis to solve one very original problem, the problem of pride. We recall in second canto Srimad Bhagavatam, after Lord Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, creates Lord Brahma and gives his blessings. At that time, Lord Vishnu also shakes his hand with Brahma as a friend. An original first time handshake event happened in this creation. So Lord Brahma, who was realizing the fact that he is very insignificant. And Vishnu, Krishna, Govinda is so highly qualified, so supreme personality of Godhead, that there is no comparison. If somebody says Krishna is 100 times more than Brahma, or 1000 times more than Brahma, or 10 lakh times more than Brahma, or 100 billion times more than Brahma, all these are incorrect statements. There is no comparison. We can't compare Krishna and Brahma as much as we can't compare the sun and the lamp. Though both are source of light, but we can't say sun is 100 times more than this lamp, or 10 lakh times more than this lamp. We can't say that. We can't say Aishwarya Rai is 100 times more beautiful than the pig, or 1 lakh times more beautiful than the pig. We can't say that. So Krishna is beyond Brahma. Brahma is a living entity. Krishna is Vibhu. There is no comparison. And still Krishna, which in the form of Vishnu, goes and shakes his hands with Brahma as if they are equal, as if they are on same platform, as if they are comparable. So Brahma is shocked and he gets instruction to create this material world. So Brahma folded hands, he approaches Vishnu and says, "This is not done. You have just handshaked with me. I am very insignificant. And you are telling me to create this world. I will develop pride. First you solve this problem, that I should not develop pride. Then I will create this world." So at that time, there is nobody else in the creation. Brahma and Vishnu. And Brahma, the first living entity, has a very original problem, the problem of pride. And he is requesting Krishna, Vishnu, to solve this problem. And how does Vishnu solve it? By telling four verses, which are popular as Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. The original Bhagavatam was spoken by Vishnu to Brahma in four verses. Aham Agre starts, where Krishna says, "I am beginning, I am end, I am middle, I am up, I am down, everything is me. Vasudevam Sarvamiti." And if you remember these four verses, if you remember this knowledge, you will never have pride. So the original problem was solved by giving these four verses, the problem of pride. And these four verses have expanded as we have 18,000 verses. They are expanded more further in heavenly planets. They say there are 1 lakh verses in heavenly planets. So all to solve the problem of pride. And we see in that whole Bhagavatam, 10th canto is considered highest. In 10th canto, Krishna's rasa dance is considered highest. And there also this has occurred. When Krishna sees the full moon in the sky on the day of Purnima today, he remembers that the young gopis last year had performed Katyayani Vrata, which this year is going to start from tomorrow. And these gopis, these young girls who are not used to, but still they have performed very much austerities by getting up early, taking bath in cold water in Yamuna, and making the deity of Devi and offering all the paraphernalia and themselves eating very less, khichdi, and fasting and praying to have Krishna as their husband. So on this day, Krishna remembers that I have to reciprocate with these young gopis who want me as their husband. So Krishna goes to the forest of Vrindavan, where so nice full moon is visible, golden, cooling, and gentle breeze is blowing, and lots of fragrance flowers are blossoming, and that fragrance is blowing with the breeze, creating a very nice soothing atmosphere, which partly you can experience even today by just going under the moon. So golden, so cooling. So Krishna's desire for dancing with the gopis increases, and he plays his flute so melodiously, attracting all the gopis. All the gopis hear their name, their call, and wherever they are, whatever they are doing, they leave and they rush to Krishna. They leave their household work. Some gopis are tending their babies, they leave them. Some gopis are serving the husbands, they leave them. Some gopis are serving the cows. Some gopis are sleeping in their bedroom. Some are working in the house. Some are stopped by their fathers and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and husbands and brothers and other elders. But they don't care. They all rush to meet Krishna. And there, Krishna, after invited them, when they assemble, Krishna says, "Oh, you all have come here at such dark hour in the forest. Not good. Please go back. Bye-bye." Very cruel. So there's a big conversation. The gopis express their dedication, their determination, their love. And finally Krishna dances with them intimately. And the gopis, they think, we are the most fortunate woman in the whole creation. From we, they go to I. I am the most fortunate woman in the whole creation. Because Krishna is dancing with me. Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna is Bhuvana Sundara. He is beauty of the universe. He is ornament of every woman. Kamal Nayan, he is lotus eyed. And he is dancing with me. So I must be the best. I am the best. I am great. I have great fortune. I am most valuable. So this is an indication of pride. And Krishna does not like. Krishna does not like if any devotee has pride. From Brahma it started. Even Indra we see became very proud. That's why we had Govardhan Leela. Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. So Krishna saw all the gopis are having pride. And he also saw Radharani, the special gopi, the daughter of Vishabhanu, very angry, because she always heard from Krishna that she is special. But here, Krishna was dancing with everybody. There was no special treatment for her. So seeing Radharani angry and gopis proud, Krishna decided to disappear Krishna decided to disappear from the Ras arena. That's prasad, that's mercy. Krishna was not neglecting the gopis, but he was relieving them of their pride. Before going further, we should understand the pride of the gopis is not anartha as we know. A conditioned soul, he gets pride, he becomes proud, that's anartha. Thinking myself more valuable than others, thinking myself better than others, I am the best, nobody is like me, I am special, that's an anartha. Neglecting neglect is pride. If somebody neglects me and I say I don't care, I also neglect that neglect. That's pride. That I don't care, I will manage. That's pride. That's not dependence on Krishna. So this pride is a very deep problem. Pride means Maya is taking you on a ride. And then you'll have to hide. So better avoid. Better be away from pride. Any thought that I am good, better than others, I am more valuable, is pride. If a 10 rupee currency note thinks I am 100 rupee and I have a purchasing power of 100 rupee and I can get products from the market equivalent to 100 rupee, that's pride. 10 rupee thinks I am 100 rupee, that's pride. So thinking ourselves higher is pride. So this is problem. This is anartha. And this has to be eradicated. The gopis, their attraction for Krishna is not material lust. Their thinking that I am best is not material pride. It is a transcendental phenomena to enhance rasa, to enhance the pastime, which we will see how it's happening. So we should not, when we hear or read, we should not think of gopis as conditioned souls undergoing the same anarthas and Krishna responding and reciprocating to them in that way. No, that's not true. By properly hearing these pastimes, our lust will go away. Our pride will go away. So how can they have lust and pride? How can they be like that? So mercifully when Krishna disappears, the gopis suddenly go mad. Suddenly they find Krishna not in their midst. So thinking Krishna must be just nearby and joking with us, the gopis start searching in every bower, in every bush, behind every tree nearby. Is Krishna behind this tree? Is Krishna in that bower? Is Krishna in that bush? Is Krishna hiding here? But they fail, and soon they realize Krishna is not here. That separation is so painful. That separation is so difficult to bear. Seeing Krishna not there, that means not seeing Krishna. Krishna not present in the front of them, they go mad. That's called Unnamada, divine madness. Searching here and there, when they don't find Krishna, they go mad. Sukadeva Goswami compares them to a mad she-elephant. When the he-elephant runs away, the she-elephant goes mad. And the pain he compares, saying that it is as if somebody has put big sword in your stomach. Or somebody is cutting your heart into two pieces. or your body is full of wounds and somebody is pouring lemon juice on it, that pain they are experiencing in the absence of Krishna. And in that divine madness, they think of Krishna's pastimes with them, the way Krishna smiles, Krishna's glance, Krishna's talk, Krishna's speech, conversation, Krishna's walk. And they start imitating those pastimes. They walk like Krishna, they talk like Krishna, they smile like Krishna, they glance like Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that first Krishna's action and qualities enter their senses and mind, and there their senses and mind enter Krishna's actions and qualities. They start thinking, I am Krishna. They forget they are females. They forget they are Braj gopis. They forget they are any other identity, but they think, I am Krishna. So they laugh like Krishna, they glance like Krishna, they walk like Krishna, they talk like Krishna. This is not Mayavad. This is not Ahangro Upasana, that worshipping oneself as God. The gopis were seeing other gopis highly distressed. And they were feeling, I am in pain, they are also in pain, I should relieve their pain. And the only way they will be relieved by their pain when Krishna comes. But Krishna is not here. So let me talk and glance and smile like Krishna. That will relieve their pain. So they were behaving in that way. And then while they started searching, the divine madness is such that a person talks. That which is mad talk. Crazy talk, even to trees and plants and animals as if they are going to respond, having a conversation. So the gopis start searching for Krishna and they start asking the trees and the creepers and the plants. First they see tall trees, banyan tree, pilu tree, plaksa tree, very, very tall trees. And the gopis think, since this tree is so tall, it must be seeing whole Vrindavan. So definitely the tree must also be seeing where is Shyam, where is Krishna. Because from tall height, you can see more. So they went to go to the trees. Say, my dear banyan tree, my dear pilu tree, ashwatha tree, have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj? Is he around? Where is he? He called us at late night in the dark forest of Vrindavan. He danced with us and then he left. He stole our minds. He is son of the king, but actually he is a criminal. He's a thief. You please help us to find out the criminal. He stole our minds. The gopis are thinking, these trees will not agree with us. How does a prince steal somebody's mind? How is that possible? Can't you take care of your mind inside? So the gopis continue that the son of Nanda Maharaj has two assistants. They have a big kidnap racket. There are two assistants. One is his glance and one is his smile. His love glance and his sweet smile. This glance and smile, they enter from our eyes to our heart, take our mind and run away. So we are here, but our mind is not with us. So my dear tall trees, you see whole Vrindavan. Please tell us where is the son of Nanda Maharaj. The gopis are speaking to the trees in their madness. But the trees don't reply. They are just standing still. The gopis thought, these trees have no fruits. They are very hard. they are male, male are hard-hearted, they will not reply us, useless. Then they find flowering trees, trees with flowers, champak and other flowers. So they think these trees are better. Whenever the guest like bees come, they offer honey. These trees with flowers, they are better trees because they offer honey to their guest bees. So they are more soft-hearted, they are compassionate, they are kind. Let us ask them. So they leave the tall trees and they go to the flowering trees. And they request, my dear flowering trees, have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj? He called us at dead night and he stole our mind. Now we can't see him. We are dying. But even these trees don't reply. They just shake their leaves as if, no, I don't know. So the gopis think these are also male trees. Hard-hearted, they don't care about others' pain, they are not replying. Then they go further, they saw Tulsi Maharani, Tulsi plant, they become happy. Yes, now we got a female plant. One female will understand pain of another female. Female are soft-hearted, these male trees are hard-hearted. So they go to Tulsi Devi, hold their hands. Say, my dear Tulsi Devi, you are Govind Priye. You are very dear to Govind. Krishna does not eat without the presence of Tulsi Maharani. Even if you offer big chappan bhog, nice opulent food, but if there is no Tulsi leaf, Krishna does not eat. In Vaikuntha, when Lord Narayana is being offered service by the Lakshmis and other servants, there is one Lakshmi who brings a very big plate of made of gold, golden plate, pure gold. And all the sides there are diamonds, pearls, rubies embedded. And in between there are sapphires, emeralds. And on the center of the plate is a big diamond, shining red. And in the center of that diamond is one Tulsi leaf. And that they offer to Narayan, and he picks up the Tulsi leaf and becomes highly pleased. Not pleased by the diamond and the pearls, but that Tulsi leaf. She is Govind Priye. She is Bhakti Devi. She can give us adhikar to serve Krishna. So they request Tulsi Maharani, you are Govind Priye. Please tell us, where is Krishna? He left us dying like this. And they think the Tulsi will say, you are also Govind Priye. Why are you asking me? So gopis add, that you are never separated from Krishna. There is a difference between us, we and you. We have separation. We have union, we have separation. Like now, even every day, morning Krishna meets them, evening meets them, but daytime there is separation. But with Tulsi Maharani, Krishna is never separated. Krishna always wears a garland of Tulsi Maharani, the leaves of Tulsi Maharani. Tulsi leaves are always there in the feet of Radharas Bihari, lotus feet of Radharas Bihari. And the garland attracts bees. The swarm of bees, they come and they buzz around the garland. And that's little inconvenience. Imagine bees buzzing around whole day. Even one fly is inconvenience to us. Bees are buzz, 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 buzz whole day. But still Krishna tolerates that inconvenience. He doesn't remove the garland and throws. He tolerates that inconvenience, but he keeps Tulsi Maharani on his bosom, on his chest. He loves Tulsi Maharani so much. So you are Govind Priya, you are beloved of Krishna. you never get separated from Krishna. You must definitely know his address, where is he now, his GPS, where is he? Please tell us. The gopis are begging Tulsi Maharani. But Tulsi Maharani does not reply. So the gopis think this Tulsi Maharani is too much. She is so proud of her position. She doesn't understand our pain because of her pride, intoxicated with pride. Then they saw Juhi flowers, Mallika flowers, Malati flowers, Jasmine flowers. Krishna wears garlands of these flowers also. But that's on secondary platform. First platform is primary Tulsi Maharani. So they are considered co-wives. So they say these co-wives, they will understand our pain definitely. So they go to Jasmine, Juhi, Malati, and they say, have you seen Krishna? Shyam Sundar, where is he? We are searching for him. He left us in pain here. But they also don't reply. And the gopis think these co-wives of Tulsi, they are afraid of Tulsi. They will not reply. Those who are dependent on others, what to ask help from them, forget them. Then they walk further on the bank of Yamuna. There are big, big coconut trees, mango trees, and jackfruit trees, and jambun trees. And they think these trees must be better. They are sadhus because they give fruits. One quality of tree is, if you throw stone at a tree, in response the tree gives fruit, not a stone. That should be quality of a sadhu, a devotee. If somebody harms a devotee, still he should get benefit. Still the devotee should offer him an opportunity to advance in bhakti, an opportunity to practice spiritual life. Daksha, he cursed Narad Muni. In return, Narad Muni offered him process of bhakti, that you practice and surrender to Vishnu. Narad Muni was cursed even by Kal Kanya, the daughter of Kal. She wanted to marry Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, no, I can't marry. I am a brahmachari. And she cursed Narad Muni. But in return, Narad Muni offered him advice that you go and accept Yavan Raj as your husband. He is good. He will accept you. So that's a sadhu. A sadhu have this quality that even if somebody harms them, they still provide benefit. So these trees on the bank of Yamuna are sadhus. They have fruits and they offer their fruits to every passerby. They will definitely help us. So they went to these trees, the mango tree, the jackfruit tree, the jamun tree, and said, please, my dear mango tree, please tell us where is the son of Nanda Maharaj, where is Krishna? He left us dying here. But even these trees don't reply. So the gopis think even these trees are no useless. Even though they are on bank of Yamuna, even though they have fruits, but they don't understand our pain. But then they say, oh, they are Brajavasis, why to criticize them? It's all our destiny that Krishna left us. Maybe we should ask somebody else who never experienced separation from Krishna. They will know. But another gopi said, who is that person who has never experienced separation from Krishna? And the gopi pointed her finger towards earth, said, earth. Wherever Krishna is, his feet is touching earth. Wherever he is, his feet is touching earth. Earth has never experienced separation from Krishna. And earth looks so jubilant with moonlight falling on earth and trees and plants. Definitely earth knows where is Krishna. But after 5 failures, they want to change their question. They said, we should not ask earth where is Krishna. We should ask, my dear earth, what austerities you have performed that you never leave the association of Krishna. You are so fortunate. that Vamandev walked on you. His whole feet, Vamandev's one feet, one step covered whole earth, planet and more, the whole universe. That Vamandev captured you. Varadev embraced Mother Earth in his arms. Varadev picked up Mother Earth to protect. He became Swami of Prithvi Devi, of Bhumi Devi. So definitely Earth has performed lots of austerities. Let us hear from Mother Earth. What about her austerity, so that we also perform the same austerities and in future we don't have this pain of separation. In future Krishna does not leave us. He always embraces us in his arms. So they ask Mother Earth that you are so fortunate. You never have been separated from Krishna. So please tell us what austerities you have performed. Then Krishna is always pleased with you. He is always in touch with you. How did you please Varadev? How did you please Vamandev? So they are asking Mother Earth. As I told, this is Unma, this is madness. In madness, a person speaks like this to animate, inanimate objects, trees, non-moving animals, and also thinks what they are thinking, what they may respond. So they are asking Mother Earth, but Mother Earth also does not reply. So they say this Mother Earth is so intoxicated with pride, she will not reply us. Then they see deer. The wife of deer, doe. Deer, doe. This is a couple. Now gopis have always in their life been joyful to see does, the female deer. One major reason is whenever Krishna plays his flute, the couple, the deer and the doe, the male and the female deer, they come and stand still and hear it. Even though they are always jumping around, but when Krishna plays the flute, they become stunned. And the gopis also come. And the gopis see this doe is so fortunate that the doe can come and hear Krishna's flute in presence of husband. But we can't come with our husband. The female deer comes to Krishna with husband. And they stand still. But gopis can't come with their husband. So it's always difficult to escape the house to reach to Krishna. It's an adventure every day. If the husband was also coming, there would be no adventure. All the journey would be okay. So gopis always have this respect for the doe. Those fortunate position that they can serve Krishna with their husband, we can't serve Krishna with our husband. And in many times acharyas have described gopis' eyes as doe-eyed. The doe has very beautiful eyes. So the gopis see the female deer, the doe, and they say, yes, this doe will help us. In the whole forest we have only one friend, this doe. This doe will help us. So they approach the doe. Said, please tell us, where is the son of Nanda Maharaj? Where is Shyam Sundar? He left us like this. We are crying in pain, in separation. And the female deer ran away. Went little distance. Again saw back the gopis. And again ran. Again saw back. That's how the female deer operates. And the gopi said, look, she is telling us, she knows Krishna. And she will take us to Krishna. That's why he's looking back again and again. So let's follow this doe. And they started following the doe. And the doe started going forward, seeing back again and again. And that was increasing the hope of the gopis. We got a friend who will tell us Krishna's address. But as the doe was going, at one place the doe disappeared. And the gopis again started worried. Said, no, Krishna must be nearby. The doe is a friend. The doe has brought us here, but now the doe is afraid. afraid of Krishna, that if he exposes Krishna's hiding place, then Krishna will be angry on the doe. So the doe has disappeared. And they started getting fragrance of Krishna's body. And they understood Krishna is in the vicinity. So there were trees and creepers around the trees. The creepers are considered wife of the trees. The trees are considered husband of the creepers. So they went to these trees and creepers. And they said, there is so much fragrance of Krishna around. Definitely Krishna was here. You both must have seen. Please tell us, where is Krishna? And we can see there is fragrance of kumkum also. That means Krishna is with another girl. Krishna has left us. He was enjoying with millions of us. But now he is so lusty because of one special gopi, he has left us. And we all know that Srimati Radharani. She is very attractive. She is very beautiful. Her love is very great. She is a special gopi. When Krishna is in Vrindavan playing the flute, all Vrindavan gets attracted to Krishna. With Krishna's melodious flute, the calves who are drinking milk of the mother cow, the nipple is in their mouth, but they don't suck. They forget sucking. They become standstill statues. They become paintings because the flute makes them stunned. The cow who has grass in her mouth, she stops. She neither spits, nor chews, nor swallows because of the flute. The deer becomes standstill. The peacock becomes standstill. And the rocks start melting. The Yamuna river becomes solid. And the bank of Ramuna, the whole strand, becomes liquid. Krishna's flute is such that moving becomes non-moving, and non-moving becomes moving. Solid becomes liquid, and liquid becomes solid. Those who walk around, they become standstill, and rocks who are standstill, they start melting. That is melodious flute of Krishna. And not only these animals, cowherd men, cowherd boys, girls, gopis, sakis, brajvasis, gokulvasis, they are all attracted. They leave their work. The gopis leave their work. And they get attracted to Krishna's flute. Krishna's transcendental flute vibration. Even the apsaras and the demigods and the devis who are flying in the sky in their airplanes, they get attracted. The apsaras, they fall unconscious on the floor of their airplane. Their dress got loose, their flower garlands get loose when they hear Krishna's flute. Not only this, Lord Brahma, who is always in meditation, when he hears Krishna's flute vibration, his meditation breaks. And he says, oh, what a wonderful sound. From where is this coming? I created all the sounds of this world. This one I didn't create. How come this is I am hearing? This is foreign kamal, imported item. I didn't create this. Without doctor, without GST, it came inside us. If something is in your house, wonderful, but you didn't purchase, you will be surprised. Kahan se aaya? From where did this come? Imagine you go to your room and you get nice laptop, you never purchased. Oh, suddenly, from where did this come? So Brahma gets bewildered. Lord Shiva, whose meditation nobody can break, he gets bewildered. His meditation breaks when he hears Krishna's flute. The four Kumaras, their meditation breaks. Lord Anansesh, his meditation breaks. And he starts swaying here and there. All the planets go turmoil. That is Krishna's flute vibration. Krishna controls the whole universe by his flute. Big people are trying to control with their guns, tanks and military, but they can't control. And Krishna controls with one bamboo stick, which is hollow. Which is hollow, no mal inside, not material inside. And which is having holes, defective piece. A hollow bamboo stick with defective holes, Krishna controls the whole universe. And what does he do? He just blow air in it. Blowing air is a very easy thing to do. Blowing air, very easy. But when Krishna blows air in the small hollow stick with holes, the whole universe gets captured. That is all attractive nature of Krishna. But the story doesn't end here. With the same flute, when Krishna was vibrating in the forest of Vrindavan on one path, one day Radharani with her gopi sakis came on the opposite side, and Krishna saw her. So beautiful girl, the flute which Krishna was playing fell from his hand. Krishna understood, and he was not aware that the flute fell. He started continuing blowing air in empty space. So that Krishna who controls the whole universe with flute is controlled by Radharani just by her beautiful presence. That's why she is topmost. She is above all the devotees. We worship her with Krishna. We can't worship Krishna alone. We worship Krishna with Srimati Radharani. They are always together. So this is the gopi whom Krishna took away in private, leaving all the million gopis away, aside. And these million gopis are now wondering what is going on. He left us, but he didn't left us alone. He was not alone. He took this special gopi. And as they moved forward, they saw Krishna's clear footprints and Radharani's clear footprints, fresh, and they understood. They wanted to pick up the dust and put it on their head. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is even Brahma, Shiva, they like to put on their head. Lord Shiva keeps Mother Ganges on his head because that emanates from lotus feet of Vishnu. But the gopis said, "Don't touch, don't touch, don't disturb it. This is our only solace, this lotus feet." And as they walked further, they saw this lotus feet of the Sakhi and Krishna merging into each other. That means they are very intimate. She has kept her arm on his shoulders. And in future they saw only Krishna's lotus feet. Radharani's lotus feet were not there. So they understood, because she is tired, Krishna has lifted in his arms. And as further they went, they saw Krishna's lotus feet only top part. That means he was plucking some flowers for her. He sat down, decorated her hair with flowers. So the gopis were becoming very distressed. The pain was increasing that he left us. We are also so qualified and beautiful. And as they went further, they saw moon on the ground. That was Srimati Radharani, so golden in color, as if another moon is on the ground. And they were surprised. She was perspiring, breathing heavily, almost dying. They went and fanned her, put her water on her face. And then she narrated her story. She said, "During the Ras dance, I was feeling anger. And I expressed it through my face, that Krishna is not giving me special treatment. He is dancing with me also and others also. So Krishna, he is so attracted to me, he took me away from all you, my friends. And that was a mistake I did. I should not have left all of you. And he took me away, he embraced me. We had intimate pastimes. And he even carried me in his arms. He plucked flowers for me. He made nice crown of flowers and decorated my hair. And finally he was telling me to come near a kunja. And I told Krishna, I can't walk. I am tired. If you want me to come, you have to carry me. Because I became proud. I thought I am the best. He has left all the million young beautiful girls. So I told Krishna, you carry me, otherwise I am sitting here. And Krishna said, yes, come on my shoulders. And immediately he disappeared. And then I realized that because of my pride, Krishna has disappeared. And my dear Sakhi, somehow I am living. The pain of separation of Srimati Radharani was much higher than the pain the gopis were experiencing. Radharani was crying and wailing
and again and again falling unconscious. She was not able to walk. She required support of two other sakis, and her clothes were disheveled. And she, the water which is very cooling, the sandalwood chandan, which is very cooling, was appearing to be a very high temperature. The lotus was appearing to her very high temperature. All the chandan which was on her body was melting because of high fever. The lotus which she was touching, the lotus petals, the cooling lotus petals, they were burned, getting burned. Her body was having so high temperature in separation. The gopis understood, this particular girl is much greater than us, because her pain of separation is much higher than us. So till now they were in distress, till now they were in kind of envy. Now they develop sympathy, they develop respect, they develop friendliness to Srimati Radharani. And they again continued, started searching Krishna. They saw fresh footprints of Krishna around them. So they started searching, but they never found Krishna. And finally they came to a very dense, dark forest. And they thought, no use, we can't see Shyam in this. So they again came under moonlight on the banks of the Yamuna. They stopped searching, they sat down. And what did they do after sitting down? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They started doing kirtan, chanting Krishna's holy names. Not only that was a solace, but that was the only process to attract Krishna back to their presence. Sukadeva Goswami, even Srila Prabhupada very clearly writes that after all the search, after meeting Srimati Radharani, after failing again and again, they sat down and performed kirtan. They chanted the holy name of Krishna. And in the next chapter we see Krishna came in their presence finally. Because they glorified Krishna, they chanted the holy name, Krishna came. So at such high level of ecstasy, at such high level of madness, at such high level of separation and love, what the gopis did is chanting the holy name of Krishna. So that which is done at such a high level, we have been given as a gift at such a low level. A conditioned soul who doesn't have this ecstasy, who doesn't have this love, who doesn't have this pain of separation, is given a gift by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Go and chant Hare Krishna. Even a small kid, we tell, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and that kid chants. Even a new person, they chant. What they are chanting is Goloka Prema Dhana. This is the expression of gopis, love and ecstasy at the highest stage, chanting the holy names of Krishna. So by chanting the holy name, we attract Krishna's mercy. Krishna and his name are non-different. They are same. They are one. They are not two. Krishna is equal to his holy name. So when we chant, we come in contact with Krishna. Krishna comes on our tongue. And if a sincere practitioner chants and hears, that's called attentive chanting. The holy name from tongue, from lips, goes to the ear. From ear, the holy name goes to the heart. And heart, the holy name does knock knock, wakes up the soul. And there the soul gets self-realized. That I am servant of Krishna. I am part and parcel of Krishna. I am Satchit Anand. I have nothing to do with this material body, this material desires, this material objects, this material ambitions, this material events, and this material world. This realization, this waking up of the soul can happen only with transcendental sound vibration of holy name and of Bhagavatam. So this sound vibration has to enter our ears. When it enters our ears, it creates miracle in our heart. And a practitioner becomes realized, self-realized. So we should chant this holy name very attentively. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chant and hear, very easy process. Done sincerely, can give us rapid advancement in bhakti. So we should be very, very careful that we chant without offenses and we develop love of Krishna. Krishna's love is present in this holy name. Krishna's beautiful form is present in the holy name. Krishna's wonderful qualities present in the holy name. Krishna's wonderful pastimes are present in the holy name. Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, all is present in Naam. All is present in the holy name. Like a bird is there. When it blossoms, it becomes a nice flower. The color of the flower, the fragrance of the flower, the honey of the flower is all present in that bird. If the bird is connected to the tree and the tree is watered, one day the bird becomes flower and then fruit. In the same way, the holy name is the bird and that bird blossoms into Roop, Gun, Leela. We develop fruit, which is love of Godhead. Everything is contained in the holy name. We don't need any other process. Whatever Prabhupada has given is pakka process. We don't need anything outside. So we should do nice sadhana, hear Bhagavatam. And that way we achieve the purpose of this human form of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead, engage in transcendental, unalloyed loving service to Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? Yeah, Mike.
So, Guruji, my question is...
Hare Krishna, yeah.
My question is, Gopi worship Lord Krishna in the form of personality of Godhead, or is just, a lover?
But this young coward boy, okay. They don't worship what we call worship, they don't do aarti and all, they love him. Natural, spontaneous love for Krishna as a young coward boy, beautiful Shyam Sundar.
Okay, but they chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then the moment they start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then that moment also they think that Krishna is just a choir.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
They chant his name.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Very beautiful lecture about how this anartha pride is affecting us in our day-to-day life. So, we see that in our daily dealings with devotees, equal devotees, it happens with equal devotees that we react. And later we realize that this was not the way to, even if our intention is right and we try to correct somebody and our intention is right and what the devotee is actually doing something wrong. But then later I feel, we realize that this was not the way, I could have said this in another way. So why it doesn't happen in the beginning means we react and later we regret. So is this also because of pride, and if it is, then how to overcome it?
So what I understood is, if you are correcting a friend, an equal devotee, sometimes it happens that the way of correction you later on realize was not so good, you should have done it in a different way. So yeah, even with friends, when there are sensitive matters like correcting, we should follow etiquette. And etiquette is born out of mode of goodness. So even if you are talking to a friend, giving feedback or correcting about some event or office behavior, we should be in mode of goodness. We should think what we are going to speak. We should properly make our mind so that we follow etiquette without enviousness, with respect. And with the authority we have, limited authority we have, we should offer our feedback to a person. We should tell something good about the person and add that if this is also done, it will be nice. Right? Like I may say to my friend in the Brahmachari Ashram that I have seen you since so many years. You are such a nice devotee, every day coming for Mangalati, chanting 16 rounds. Your service is also nice. And I just feel that if you also do, take care of your bed and clean it, it will be nice. So we offer our correction not just as a statement. We offer it with respect, without enviousness, with limited authority, with affectionate of a friend, with also a positive experience with that friend, so that sinks in. Right? Finally, it depends on the relationship. So when we realize later that we have not done it, that means we are not out of habit. We are not habitual to be in mode of goodness. So let's think, let's sit, let's think about our relationships, and let's have positive talks with devotees. Right? So whom you are staying with, if you develop nice friendships, then this will not get affected. That's what I can say. Okay? So mode of goodness is very essential to maintain a nice relationship. Okay? Any more questions? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for a very, very sweet meditation on Krishna Leela and focusing on the problem of pride. In the verse, as you mentioned, we have this tatso bhaga madam. So a madam, a madness arising from a sense of good fortune. So I'm thinking, to feel oneself to be fortunate generally is a good thing. I feel fortunate to be in the association of devotees. So we might say this is sobhagya yuktam, appropriate sense of fortune. But there seems to be a very fine line between these two, sobhagya yuktam, sobhagya mandam, especially in the case of the gopis. Maybe you can say something about this.
Yeah, so I feel good about my fortune and I am proud of my fortune. These two are different. If I am in association of devotees and I say Krishna is so merciful, I have a good fortune to be in association of nice devotees, that's positive. But I say I am so great that I am in this association, it's because of me. Then that's pride. So if the purpose of my fortune is me, that's pride. If I understand the purpose of my fortune is Krishna's causeless mercy or devotees all tolerating me, that's positive. So gopis are thinking that I am better than all other women, that's why Krishna is dancing with me. So that's pride. Thinking that I am very low, but Krishna is so merciful that he is dancing with me, that's a better attitude. That's only I have to add. You want to add anything about this? Any more questions? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.